/solutions.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from Merchants Pub and Plate in downtown Lawrence, serving familiar dishes through a seasonal local lens, and a bar with 30 craft beers, wine, and handcrafted cocktails. More at merchantsonmass.com.
It is 84 degrees on the KU campus in Lawrence, 86 in Emporia, 90 in Chanute. The time is 6:06.
All things considered from NPR News.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, broadcasting at 91.5 FM in Lawrence, also at 91.3 FM in Junction City. We actually have many frequencies all around the state. We're always streaming online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from Kansas Tree Care, local arborists who provide professional tree care in the greater Lawrence area and who can be reached at kansastreecare.com or at 785-843-TREE.
Hope you'll stay with us coming up here in the next few minutes. Reporter John Burnett biked around the Gulf South for a couple of weeks, took a reporter kit with him. He asked people he met what are their major concerns headed into this election. We'll hear that story, get you an update of news headlines, have a conversation with the governor of Hawaii, who was in on that conference call with Joe Biden the other day. It's all coming up on KPR.
Support for KPR's Community Spotlight comes from the Sunflower Foundation in Topeka, with a mission to serve as a catalyst for improving the health of all Kansans. More information is available at sunflowerfoundation.org.
Mostly clear skies tonight for most of the KPR listening areas. Still going to be humid, though. Lows tonight in the lower 60s. Sunshine tomorrow with a high in the lower 80s. We do get a strong chance of showers and thunderstorms again over the weekend, but looks pretty good for tomorrow. Highs in the lower 80s, lows in the lower 60s tomorrow night. We do still have a flood watch in effect until 1 a.m. for Johnson, Lynn, Miami, and Wyandotte counties. Excessive runoff could result in flooding. It's 86 degrees in Emporia. It is 86 in Abilene and 84 in Topeka. It's 6:20.
PR News.
Join us first thing tomorrow morning, 5 to 9 a.m. on your KPR stations for Morning Edition. Jay Schaefer is your local host.
Support for KPR comes from Audio Reader, providing access to news, information, and the arts for people who are blind or visually impaired across Kansas, Missouri, and nationwide. Learn how you can make an impact at reader.ku.edu.
Stay with us. News headlines are coming up next. 84 degrees in Lawrence. It's 6:30.
Russia, saying they risk arbitrary detention by Russian security services. Charles Maines, NPR News, Moscow.
And you're listening to NPR News.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson with your regional headlines. June tax collections in Kansas were higher than expected. Total tax collections last month came in at $1.03 billion, about $24 million more than the estimate. Kansas Department of Revenue reports that total tax collections are up almost 4% from June of last year. Western Kansas has the highest concentration of cattle in the state, and the animals can be sensitive to extreme heat. Prolonged exposure to high temperatures can cause heat stress. Just 2 years ago, the state of Kansas saw heat kill more than 1,000 head of cattle. Kansas State University researchers warn that the heat in southwest Kansas will affect animal comfort and temperatures may only get worse. Will Milishowski, livestock instructor at Seward County Community College, says extreme weather can hurt the livelihoods of western Kansans.
As those businesses struggle, those communities around them will struggle, whether it be layoffs, you know, if hey, we're losing too many cattle, we're not making this sustainable.
Milishowski says ranchers need to monitor their herds and provide access to shade and extra water. But he says feedlots have a harder time providing those necessities. In the National Women's Soccer League, the Kansas City Current will try to extend its unbeaten streak this weekend against the Orlando Pride, which is also undefeated. Greg Eklund reports.
The first place Current have 10 wins and 5 ties. The Pride will take an identical record into their match at CPKC Stadium in Kansas City. Current coach Vlatko Andonovski says everyone recognizes the marquee matchup.
It's arguably the most important game or the biggest game, but it's not. The final is the biggest game. You know, hopefully we get to the final, and now that's the one that will matter the most.
The National Women's Soccer League has just announced that the league's title match will be decided in Kansas City on November 23rd, regardless of the teams that make it to the big match. I'm Greg Eklund.
Mostly clear skies tonight and humid with a low in the lower 60s. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high in the lower 80s. We are expecting showers and storms over the weekend. A flood watch is in effect until 1 a.m. for Johnson, Lynn, Miami, and Wyandotte counties. It's 6:35. Join us tomorrow morning, beginning at 5 o'clock, on your KPR stations for Morning Edition. Jay Schaefer is your local host. From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 96.1 FM in Lawrence, lots of other frequencies all around the state. Always streaming at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from First Presbyterian Church in Lawrence, with services online on YouTube and in person every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. for community building, worship, and music. Information at firstpreslawrence.org.
Stay with us. Another 11 minutes of All Things Considered yet to come. Then, if you're joining us on KPR One Station, stick around for Classics Live, a Rule Joyce recital tonight. Music for two violas, followed by an hour of classical music with Destiny, lots of patriotic favorites, and some listener requests. If you're joining us on KPR Two tonight, stick around for KPR Presents and The Middle with Jeremy Hobson.
Support for KPR comes from the Lawrence Public Library and the Summer Book Sale, July 12th through July 14th at the Library Garage, with books, CDs, DVDs, and more. Information is at lplks.org.
It's 84 degrees in Lawrence. It's 10 minutes before 7.
And from the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation at macfound.org.
An aspiring Hollywood actress tries to find fame and get away from a serial killer in the movie Maxine on the next Morning Edition from NPR News.
You will hear Morning Edition tomorrow, 5 to 9 a.m. on your KPR stations. Jay Schaefer will be your local host.
Support for KPR comes from Green Lady Lounge, offering live Kansas City jazz 365 days a year till 3 a.m. Green Lady Lounge is located at 1809 Grand Boulevard, Kansas City. Information at greenladylounge.com.
Stay tuned. Up next, our first Classics Live for July, featuring a recent Rule Joyce recital of two violists, double viola music, duets by Stamets, Bridge, Bartok, and LeClaire. Shelley Armour and Jesse Yakimura, duo violists from Kansas City, coming right up. It's followed by an hour of music with Destiny. We're live, we're local, we are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3. Listen online at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from Spider Art Constructors, offering decorative stamped and stained concrete patio work across the KPR listening area. More information about creating your backyard oasis is at spiderartconstructors.com.
Humid conditions tonight with a low in the lower 60s, sunshine tomorrow with a high in the lower 80s. This is KPR, and it's 7:01.
Hello, and welcome to Classics Live from Kansas Public Radio. I'm Cordelia Brown, and we have an interesting Rule Joyce recital. Two violas. There's actually a little bit of music written for the two string instruments together. We'll hear Jesse Yukimura and Shelley Armour as the two violists. We'll tell you more about Shelley after the music, but the violist, Jesse Kione Yukimura, joined the Kansas City Symphony in 2018, and we can be glad this curious musician is in our community. An indication of that curiosity is that when he went to Oberlin College, he earned not only a music degree in viola performance from the Oberlin Conservatory of Music, but also a bachelor's in chemistry from Oberlin College. He also holds a Master of Music degree from Lynn Conservatory of Music, as well as a professional performance certificate. When he plays in a variety of ensembles, he has always been a supporter of modern composers. But for this Classics Live, for this Rule Joyce recital, you'll hear some composers from long ago, as well as something modern. Jesse also has a long list of accomplishments, including Viola Fellow at the New World Symphony in Miami Beach, a number of summer music programs in several spots across the country, and as soloist with the Oberlin Contemporary Music Ensemble and the Lynn Philharmonia. We're here in the Midwest Trust Center, Polsky Theater, at Johnson County Community College for this Rule Joyce recital featuring violists Jesse Yukimura and Shelley Armour. They begin with a three-movement duet for two violas by Carl Stamitz.
Thank you. Thank you. Next piece on the program is The Lament by Frank Bridge. Now, Bridge was a British composer who wrote this piece in 1911-12 for himself to play along with Lionel Tertius, and I think really showcases the viola sound. So I hope you enjoy Frank Bridge's Lament.
Thank you. Next on the program is a set of seven selections that we made out of Béla Bartók's 44 duos, which were originally composed for two violins. Now, Bartók was a Hungarian composer and is well known for his fascination with folk music, particularly that of the Balkan region, and he incorporated stylistic and rhythmic and harmonic elements from that music that he studied into the classical music that he wrote, and particularly so in these duos. Now, you may notice that like the bridge, Bartók uses a lot of double stops, although in this case, it's actually to create a type of drone, and this implies folk instruments like the hurdy-gurdy, which has these drone strings that sound underneath the melody and create an effect like bagpipes. And actually, there is a duo, although not one of the ones that we're playing, that Bartók titled Bagpipes. So out of this folk music, we have, for example, the last movement, Ardeliana, which is the name of a type of dance from Romania. We have the Ruthenian dance as well, which is based on music not actually from the Balkan region, but from what is now parts of Ukraine and Belarus. Now, William Primrose, who arranged these duos to be played on viola rather than violin, like Lionel Tertis, who I mentioned earlier, was hugely important in the history of the viola repertoire. He grew up right in the middle of that British viola renaissance and came to be known as arguably the best violist in the 20th century. So you can imagine many composers composed for him as well. And he did many, many arrangements like these that we're about to play. So I hope you enjoyed these seven duos from Bartók's 44 duos.
Thank you.
right. So, the final piece on our program is the Sonata Opus 3, Number 3, by Jean-Marie Leclerc, or as we like to call him in the U.S., Leclerc. Now, this piece is basically saving the best for last. Shelley and I made this selection first and formed the rest of the program around it, so we're very excited to play it. Now, Leclerc, this piece was also, like the Bartoks, written for two violins. So we'll be playing it. It was originally in D major. We'll be playing it transposed down a fifth in G major. The term sonata in the Baroque era meant something a bit different than what it meant even 50 years later. So for me, this piece is much more like the solo violin sonatas by Johann Sebastian Bach than, for example, the Mozart violin sonatas or anything that came after that. So it's in four movements like the Bach sonatas. The first is a short sort of overture or prelude, followed by a very challenging fugal minuet, then a slower sarabande third movement, and finally a gigue final movement, although as you can see in the program, Leclerc himself only actually titled the last movement. I want to thank you all so much for being here today. It's been our pleasure to play all this great music for you. Thanks also to Doreen for inviting us here. I know there are more great concerts coming up in the series, so I hope you check those out as well. But for now, please enjoy the Sonata Opus 3, Number 3 by Leclerc. Thank you.
Sonata, Opus 3, Number 3, by Jean-Marie Leclerc, for two violas in this Rule Joyce recital, featuring Jesse Yukimura, violist. He is a violist in the viola section of the Kansas City Symphony. And the second violist, Shelley Armour, is an avid chamber orchestral and new music performer. She was featured as a fellow with the Dali Quartet International Chamber Festival and violist at the Bodoin International Chamber Festival, and as a soloist with the Johnson City Symphony and the Santa Fe ESSO. Currently, she resides in Waldo, where she also teaches viola and coaches chamber music both online and in person. And that concludes this Rule Joyce recital at Johnson County Community College in the Polsky Theater of the Midwest Trust Center with violist Jesse Yukimura and Shelley Armour. I'm Cordelia Brown with Classics Live. Chuck Smith is our recording engineer. He recorded this in the Polsky Theater. Broadcasts of Classics Live are a production of Kansas Public Radio. That was a 2007 recording by Kansas Public Radio of the Sunflower Music Festival in Topeka. And the piece was by Mendelssohn, sometimes called Mendelssohn's Fingal's Cave or the Hebrides Overture. He was inspired by it during a trip to Scotland when he was young. This is Classics Live on KPR, Kansas Public Radio. Thanks for joining us for Classics Live. Support for Classics Live on KPR comes from the University of Kansas, transforming students and society through academics, discovery, service, and spirit. Information about the possibilities of a KU education is online at ku.edu. We are Kansas Public Radio from KU. We're on KANU and KANU HD1, serving Lawrence through 91.5 FM, plus the same product on KANH and KANH HD1 for the Emporia area through 89.7. Same for KANV and KANV HD1, Olsburg, Junction City, Abilene, 91.3, and down south, it's KANQ Chanute, 90.3, and online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Spear. The President and First Lady celebrated Independence Day at the White House today with military families. As NPR's Barbara Sprunt reports, it comes at a politically tense time for President Biden as he faces calls from some Democrats for him to step aside and let someone else take on Donald Trump in November.
Happy Independence Day!
President Biden kicked off a 4th of July barbecue on the South Lawn of the White House with active duty military service members and their families.
You represent only 1%, not quite 1% of the American population, but you keep 99% of the rest of the population safe. It's you. You're all volunteers. You do it.
This comes a day after Biden met with Democratic governors as he tries to contain the fallout from a poor debate performance and ease concerns among Democrats about his strength as a candidate. Barbara Sprunt, NPR News, the White House.
Israel is dispatching a delegation to hold negotiations for a ceasefire in Gaza and a release of Israeli hostages held by Hamas. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu discussed the ceasefire talks in a call with President Biden this morning. NPR's Daniel Estrin has more.
The president's call with Netanyahu on Independence Day points to the urgency of the ceasefire negotiations and the possibility of a breakthrough. Ceasefire talks had been stalled for weeks, but Hamas on Wednesday submitted a revised list of demands for a ceasefire with Israel. Hamas is now willing to agree to a more gradual Israeli troop withdrawal from parts of Gaza, along with a gradual exchange of Israeli hostages for Palestinian prisoners. But Hamas wants written guarantees that talks will eventually reach a full ceasefire. That's according to two senior Egyptian officials close to the talks, who spoke on condition of anonymity to divulge some details. Daniel Estrin, NPR News, Tel Aviv.
Hurricane Beryl, after causing major destruction in the Caribbean and claiming at least 9 lives, is back out over open water tonight. Beryl, which was the earliest Category 5 Atlantic hurricane on record before weakening, raked Jamaica overnight. A curfew was lifted there this morning. Journalist Nick Davis, who's based in the capital, Kingston, says cleanup efforts are underway.
It's going to take days, even weeks possibly, to be able to get parts of his country back on his feet. The immediate concern for the authorities is to be able to get power to essential services, to make sure that water services are up and able to be able to be pumping, to make sure telecommunications are working. But, you know, people like myself, residential, the big cities will probably get power, Montego Bay and Kingston, first, but in the rural communities, it's going to take a while.
Reporter Nick Davis, Beryl at last check was still a Category 2 hurricane with 110-mile-an-hour winds. It's expected to hit Mexico's Yucatan Peninsula early Friday morning. Parent company of Saks Fifth Avenue has announced it signed a deal to buy upscale rival Neiman Marcus in a $2.65 billion deal. As part of the agreement, Amazon would hold a minority stake. You're listening to NPR.
Support for NPR comes from the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, supporting creative people and effective institutions committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information is at macfound.org. This is Kansas Public Radio.
Stardate July 4th. It may sound strange to hear during the heat of the summer, but Earth is farthest from the sun for the entire year right now. Our planet is receiving almost 7% less energy from the sun than it did when it was closest to the sun in January. The average distance to the sun is 93 million miles, but the distance varies by about 1.5 million miles in either direction, a result of the eccentricity of Earth's orbit. It defines how lopsided the orbit is, and it varies over cycles of hundreds of thousands of years. The change is caused by the gravitational pull of the other planets. The biggest impact comes from Venus and Jupiter. Venus passes closer to us than any other planet, and Jupiter is the solar system's heaviest planet. So even though it's a long way off, it has a big influence on Earth's orbit. Today, the eccentricity is less than 2%, so Earth's orbit is almost circular. And it's getting even more circular. When the eccentricity is lowest, the distance to the Sun will vary by only about 300,000 miles. After that, the orbit will get much more eccentric. It'll peak at almost 6%. That may not sound like a lot, but it's enough to change the amount of sunlight Earth receives over the course of a year by 23%. That difference will have a major impact on Earth's climate, thanks to the influence of the other worlds of the solar system. Today's program was made possible by Mercer Caverns, located in Calaveras County in California's historic gold country. More information at mercercaverns.net. I'm Billy Henry.
It's called The Stars and Stripes Forever, and very often sounds like this.
KPR. It's a blast from the past. Stars and Stripes Forever from the Henry Morgan Show. A treat sent to me from a great listener named Gabe. Thank you for that. Perfect to celebrate our 4th of July together. And I also have another listener, Rick, who loves marches. So I am 2 for 2. And in fact, I've got another listener request coming up. That's how we are celebrating this holiday today. We are celebrating friendship. We are celebrating being able to be friends in such a lovely and marvelous country. So I am so glad all of you are here with me. I am Destiny, and that was a very old recording, as you could probably tell, but I thought it would catch your ear, shall we say, to hook you in for the rest of this hour. I've got something very meaningful and patriotic at around 8:28. It's Copeland's Lincoln Portrait. But right now, this is a request from Jan and a suggestion perfect for the 4th of July, especially with the drums and whatnot. It's Beethoven's Wellington's Victory. So let's enjoy a past victory in history with Lauren Mazel and the Vienna Philharmonic. I hope you like it right now on KPR.
That's such a great opening, Beethoven's Wellington's Victory here on KPR with Lauren Mazel and the Vienna Philharmonic. Thank you so much to Jan for that suggestion. I love it. Love it. Love it. Something else I love. Of course, on the 4th of July, I have to play the 1812 Overture. So that is coming up at the end of our hour. Hopefully you are enjoying your holiday, maybe grabbing yourself a drink like you can from the Green Lady Lounge. They're a great sponsor. Thank you to the Green Lady Lounge. They feature Kansas City jazz music, cocktails, wine, and beer live. 365 days a year, live jazz till 3 a.m. Info is at greenladylounge.com. This is Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 Lawrence and 99.5 Manhattan, online at kansaspublicradio.org. And now for something very patriotic for us on this 4th of July, Aaron Copland's Lincoln Portrait. We've got the Philadelphia Orchestra conducted by Eugene Ormandy, and Stevenson is our narrator, Adlai Stevenson. I hope you enjoy it right now on KPR.
Thank you. Fellow citizens, we cannot escape history. That is what he said. That is what Abraham Lincoln said. Fellow citizens, we cannot escape history. We of this Congress and this administration will be remembered in spite of ourselves. No personal significance or insignificance can spare one or another of us. The fiery trial through which we pass will light us down in honor or dishonor to the latest generation. We, even we here, hold the power and bear the responsibility. He was born in Kentucky, raised in Indiana, and lived in Illinois. And this is what he said. This is what Abe Lincoln said. The dogmas of the quiet past are inadequate to the stormy present. The occasion is piled high with difficulty, and we must rise with the occasion. As our case is new, so we must think anew and act anew. We must disenthrall ourselves, and then we shall save our country. When standing erect, he was 6 feet 4 inches tall, and this is what he said. He said, "It is the eternal struggle between two principles, right and wrong, throughout the world. It is the same spirit that says, you toil and work and earn bread, and I'll eat it. No matter in what shape it comes, whether from the mouth of a king who seeks to bestride the people of his own nation and live by the fruit of their labor, or from one race of men as an apology for enslaving another race. It is the same tyrannical principle." Lincoln was a quiet man. Abe Lincoln was a quiet and a melancholy man. But when he spoke of democracy, this is what he said. He said, "As I would not be a slave, so I would not be a master." This expresses my idea of democracy. Whatever differs from this, to the extent of the difference, is no democracy. Abraham Lincoln, 16th President of these United States, is everlasting in the memory of his countrymen. For on the battleground at Gettysburg, this is what he said. He said that from these honored dead, we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion. That highly resolved, that these dead shall not have died in vain, and that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, and for the people shall not perish from the earth.
Copeland's Lincoln Portrait here on KPR with Eugene Ormandy and the Philadelphia Orchestra, Adlai Stevenson narrator. I hope you liked it. I remember first hearing that at some point in high school, and I was really moved by it, so I hope you were as well on this 4th of July. I hope you are listening to music, and hopefully your neighbors aren't shooting off illegal fireworks. Although it's probably legal in many places. Not where I live. It's definitely not. And my kitty cats are not fans. But anyhow, it's the 4th of July. So, of course, if you're celebrating by shooting fireworks, that's fantastic. I do love them, after all. Just at the right time of year. Okay, now I'm going to sound like one of those get off my lawn people. The greatest 1812 overture is coming right up. It's a real bullseye. Like the show that I'm about to tell you about, too. Bullseye with Jesse Thorne is a weekly conversation with the most talked about and on the rise guests in pop culture today. Recent shows have featured guests like Tom Hanks, Shonda Rhimes, and Richard Thompson. Join our weekly conversation about the best of arts and culture. Bullseye with Jesse Thorne. Saturday morning at 11 on all KPR1 stations. Well, we can't have a 4th of July show without the 1812 Overture by Tchaikovsky. I hope you like it. Right now on KPR, it's with the Kirov Orchestra and Chorus.
Thank you.
that's so good. I had to take my head away from the microphone to shout here on KPR, celebrating the 4th of July, Tchaikovsky's 1812 Overture. Oh, such great music. Oh, I would love to play that in an orchestra where real cannons are firing, wouldn't you? Yes, indeed. Indeed, I would. That was pretty great. That recording was with the Kirov Orchestra and Chorus. I'm really glad that you have spent your 4th of July with me. I hope you found the tunes fun and patriotic, and that Henry Morgan show, that's quite the find. So thank you again to our listeners for all of your help this evening with the show, and I hope you are spending time with friends and family, or spending time listening to great music, being inspired, figuring out the meaning of life, you know, all of those important things that we do on the 4th of July. I hope your pets are doing all right. And if any of you have small children, hopefully they are enjoying the fanciful fireworks and not too afraid of them. That ending was so fantastic that we are going to get an encore presentation on our way out the door. Happy 4th of July from Kansas Public Radio.
Weekday on Morning Edition, we dig deep.
That is such a good and important question.
And bring you the best stories.
It was funny, it was distasteful, it was crazy.
Join us for Mix the News You Need and the stories that might surprise you. Listen to Morning Edition from NPR News.
Morning Edition is here for you weekdays on KPR from 5 to 9 a.m. Support for classical music on KPR comes from the Green Lady Lounge, offering live Kansas City jazz 365 days a year till 3 a.m. Green Lady Lounge is located at 1809 Grand Boulevard, Kansas City, and info is at greenladylounge.com. And Cromwell Environmental, serving Kansas and Missouri customers since 1982, offering testing and solutions for mold, lead, and asbestos problems. More info at cromwellenvironmental.com. From the University of Kansas, it's your place to find classical music and NPR news, Kansas Public Radio. We're KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Oldsburg Junction City 91.3, and KANQ Chanute at 90.3. Listen online at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speakers to play Kansas Public Radio.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Spear. President Biden spoke by phone with Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu for about a half hour today. As NPR's Tamara Keith explains, there is renewed optimism about a possible deal to have hostages released and a ceasefire put in place in Gaza.
An administration official briefing reporters after the call between the leaders said there has been a breakthrough on a critical impasse in negotiations between Israel and Hamas. The official said there is an agreement on a framework that would see hostages released in exchange for a pause in fighting and a surge of humanitarian assistance into Gaza. The agreement would be implemented over multiple phases, with all women and men over 50 being returned first. But that doesn't mean a deal is right around the corner. The official said there are still a lot of details to be worked out. Vice President Harris was also on the call, along with top diplomats. Tamara Keith, NPR News.
The Democratic Party is in uncharted territory at the moment. That's as President Biden looks to salvage his campaign following last week's poor debate performance. Some Democrats are calling for the president to withdraw from the race, though in an interview with NPR's All Things Considered, Hawaii Governor Josh Green says he doesn't think that will happen.
I think the president is very likely going to stay in the race, and I think it's very likely that if he is seen as solid going forward, people will then at least judge him versus Mr. Trump.
Green was among a group of Democratic governors who met with Biden last night in a radio interview that aired today. Biden said the stakes in the race against presumptive Republican nominee Donald Trump extend far beyond his own prospects, affecting the future of democracy itself. Biden has a major TV interview airing tomorrow and travels to Pennsylvania and Wisconsin in coming days. Britain held an election today for parliament and prime minister. Ballots are being counted and official results are expected early tomorrow. But exit polls predict big gains for the center-left Labour Party's NPR's Lauren Frayer reports.
Just after polls closed, the BBC broadcast initial results.
And as Big Ben strikes 10, the exit poll is predicting a Labour landslide.
Exit polls tend to be reliable here. This one shows Labour won more than three times as many seats in Parliament as the incumbent Conservatives. That means the Labour leader, Keir Starmer, would be the next British Prime Minister. The exit poll also shows the far-right anti-immigrant Reform UK party, led by Brexiteer Nigel Farage, may have done better than expected and won its first seats in Parliament. Lauren Frayer, NPR News, London.
U.S. financial markets are closed today for the 4th of July holiday, though there was trading elsewhere. Japan's benchmark Nikkei surged to a new record close today in Frankfurt, Paris, and London. European markets also were higher. You're listening to NPR News in Washington. Hurricane Beryl, after ripping roofs from homes in Jamaica, pushing fishing boats atop one another in Barbados and causing extensive damage on a pair of islands in St. Vincent and the Grenadines, is now making a beeline toward Mexico. The hurricane has weakened from a powerful Category 5 storm with more than 150 mile-per-hour winds to a still-strong Category 3 hurricane with 115 mile-per-hour winds. Mexico's Yucatan Peninsula is the next area in the path of the storm. Beryl has already claimed at least 9 lives. China is calling on Germany to rethink its business practices after Berlin blocked the planned sale of Volkswagen's gas turbine business to a Chinese company. NPR's Rob Smith has more.
The government of German Chancellor Olaf Scholz blocked the sale of Volkswagen's subsidiary Man Energy Solutions gas turbine division to the Chinese company CSIC Longjiang over concerns that Longjiang is associated with China's weapons industry. The type of gas turbine made by Man Energy Solutions can be used in a variety of military applications, such as powering warships, but also in fighter jets and drones. And this worried the German government enough to block the sale. German Vice Chancellor Robert Habeck said that foreign investments in Germany continue to be welcome, but that technologies relevant to public safety and order must be protected. Rob Schmitz, NPR News.
While the third quarter is only just getting underway, U.S. investors appear to be upbeat as a recent slew of economic reports suggest the Fed could be on track to cut interest rates later this year. So at its meeting last month, the central bank held off on taking any action on rates. I'm Jack Spear, NPR News in Washington.
Support for NPR comes from Angie, dedicated to helping homeowners find skilled pros to get their home projects done well, from everyday repairs to major remodels. Reviews, pricing, and booking are at Angie.com or on the Angie app. This is NPR.
It seems like all the songs from Antonio Carlos Jobim are beautiful songs. This one translates to, "The slums aren't given a chance. O moral, nothing viz." I'm David Bassey, Karen Allison, and the album Imagina on Concord Records. And her take on O Moro Nothing Viz from Carlos Jobim.
Morro, toda a cidade vai cantar.
ship for Jimmy. Mas Golden Bay, vocês, quando terem fez ao morro, toda a cidade vai cantar. Morro pede passagem, morro que se entrar, abra malas pro morro, tambori vai parar. É um, é dois, é três, é cem, é mil a patucar. Morro não tem vez, mas se terem vez ao morro, toda a cidade vai cantar.
Frizzell, and Jason El Rubio McGuire. We just heard guitarist Rod Fleeman with David Fink on the bass and Todd Strait playing the drums, Michael Spiro at the percussion, and Imagina from Karen Allison in 2008 on Concord Records. Here's Bill Frisell from the Sweetest Punch, Vamp Dulce.
Thank you. Thank you.